To the Midwest, we'll see another couple of days of oppressive heat and humidity. The exception will be from Iowa to northern Indiana and north, where a frontal boundary will be nearly stationary. Periodic showers and thunderstorms are expected along and north of this front. Along with much cooler conditions, this front should push southward on Sunday, bringing relief from the heat to more of the Midwest, along with a chance of showers and thunderstorms. High temperatures today will range from the low 80s across eastern Wisconsin to near 100 degrees in central and western Missouri. Low temperatures tonight will be in the 70s across the Midwest. The forecast for east central Illinois, an excessive heat warning, is in effect now until 7 p.m. Sunday evening. This afternoon, mostly sunny, hot and humid with a chance of showers and thunderstorms. Expect a high in the mid-90s with heat index readings around 110 degrees. The wind out of the southwest at 10 to 15 miles per hour. Tonight, partly cloudy with a low of 75. The early evening heat index will remain around 110. The wind will be light and from the south. Tomorrow, partly sunny, hot and humid with a chance of afternoon showers and thunderstorms. Look for a high of 93 and afternoon heat index readings around 110 degrees. The wind light and from the south tomorrow. Tomorrow night, mostly cloudy with a chance of evening showers and thunderstorms. The low 75. The wind light and from the southwest. Sunday, partly sunny with a chance of afternoon showers and thunderstorms. A high in the low 90s and a southwest wind from 5 to 10 miles per hour. Sunday night, mostly cloudy with a chance of showers and thunderstorms. The low will be in the low 70s. And the outlook for Monday, mostly sunny with a high in the upper 80s. At noon central time, temperatures across Illinois and Indiana ranged from the mid-70s to the upper 90s. In northern Illinois, it was cloudy, where this morning some fast-moving thunderstorms moved through the region. Most other locations at noon reported sunny skies. So it was cloudy and 75 degrees at Rockford at noon, 73 and cloudy at O'Hare. Bloomington Normal reported 89 degrees. It was 92 at Mattoon and Carbondale. South Bend reported light rain at the top of the hour. The temperature there, 79 degrees. It was 96 at Lafayette. Indianapolis reported 94 degrees, and Terre Haute checked in with 93 degrees. Willard Airport reported a sunny sky at the top of the hour, the temperature 93, the dew point 77, giving us a heat index of 107. The relative humidity 59%, the wind out of the southwest at 8, the barometric pressure 29.96 and falling, and at 1240, 95 degrees in Urbana. In Washington, lawmakers are still trying to reach a deal to raise the ceiling on the amount of debt the government can take on. Economists say the country will need to reduce the amount of money it's borrowing because all the debt we've accumulated could become more painful in the future. NPR's Chris Arnold reports.
There's obviously all this attention right now on the ballooning size of the national debt. But this is kind of surprising. Short-term interest rates are so low at the moment that the government can borrow that money almost for free.
Right now, with money as cheap as it is, the deficit's not a drag at all.
Pete Kyle is a finance professor at the University of Maryland.
But if you look at what's coming in the future, the potential drag that you see in the future is a really big problem.
This has everything to do with interest rates. With rates so low, it's kind of like the government is floating trillions of dollars in debt on one of those 0% credit card offers that you can get in the mail. Those are great while they're at 0%, but if you don't pay the card off before the rate resets and shoots way up, you can be in big trouble really quickly.
That's exactly the problem the federal government's facing. So the big danger to the U.S. economy going forward is that interest rates go up.
Especially if they go up faster than the rate of inflation. Now, it's not like there's some date set in stone where the government will suddenly have to pay higher interest rates, but most analysts say that rates won't stay this low forever. And you don't have to go back too far in history to see interest rates that were much, much higher. Take 1980.
CBS News, this is Newsbreak. After that inflation report, most major banks raised their prime lending rate to 17.75%.
But rates don't have to spike that high to cause big problems. That's because with the size of the national debt right now at nearly $15 trillion, any increase will start siphoning mind-boggling amounts of money out of the Treasury. Scott Simon is a top bond investor at PIMCO.
When you have $15 trillion of debt, 1% on that's $150 billion. So the cost is real.
And Pete Kyle says most analysts expect that short-term rates will start rising.
Interest rates will, starting about a year from now, rise about 1 percentage point a year, and they'll do that for several years.
So 5 years from now, Kyle says just the interest on the current level of national debt could cost
$750 billion a year.
$750 billion. That's a lot of bridges not getting built or Medicare not getting paid. But for now, the economy has to make it past this August 2nd deadline for raising the debt ceiling. And whatever their thoughts on the deficit, just about nobody in the business world wants to see lawmakers in Washington force the U.S. Treasury to default. David Kotok is chief economist at Cumberland Advisors.
The Treasury note is the single most important security. It cannot default. It would be a horror story globally. The politics of this are insane.
Kotok says a default could set off a terrible chain of events. Interest rates could spike right away, not a couple years down the road. Banks could go insolvent. The housing market might collapse.
You run the risk in a default by the United States of a catastrophic meltdown like we saw when Lehman Brothers failed or AIG failed, only much larger.
So far, the stock market seems to be betting, though, that lawmakers in the end won't take that risk, and they will work out a deal to avoid a default. Chris Arnold, NPR News.
For young people seeking a career in the arts, a number of prestigious summer camps can provide valuable training. Interlochen in northern Michigan is one of them. Jesse Norman, Josh Grubin, and Nora Jones all spent their summers there when they were younger. Tuition can run as high as $7,000 to $10,000, which would seem to limit the camp to rich kids. But NPR's Elizabeth Blair visited. She spoke with some resourceful young people who found a way to study there.
Interlochen has been around since 1928. It was first called the National High School Orchestra Camp. Its founder, the late Joe Matty, was known to be a visionary who was often short on cash. His goal was total immersion in the arts. Over time, Matty got his wish. Just walk around Interlochen. Around every tree, someone's practicing in one of the dozens of small cabins scattered throughout the woods. Every camper takes classes. Every camper gets either small group or private instruction. And every camper has the chance to perform. That's Interlochen's World Youth Symphony Orchestra. Even though the summer camp is heaven for aspiring musicians, it's also old school. In some ways, it's hard to believe so many teenagers would want to spend the summer here. They have to wear uniforms. They have to hand over their cell phones and only get them back twice a week. And at about 6:30 a.m. every weekday, there's morning lineup.
That's the worst part of the day. After that, I'm fine.
Singer and actor Cassie Mikett from Brighton, Michigan, is studying musical theater. 2 summers ago, she did a one-week program at Interlochen.
I didn't really realize until I got here how amazing it is and how great the instructors are and how much I would learn and how many connections I would get when I was here.
Mikett was determined to come back for the 6-week program. She says her parents made a deal with her. She had to pay a certain amount of it herself.
Because I have 4 younger siblings and it's just not possible to pay for that much camp with that many people in my family.
So Cassie Mikett got to work. Since people always complimented the colorful flower hairpins she made for herself out of soda cans, she set up a Facebook page and started selling them for $5 a piece. Mikett says she made about $700 towards tuition for Interlaken.
I made quite a few, and it takes about 30 minutes per hairpin. And what I really needed was a staff so I could make them, because I was always trying to keep up with orders.
For the rest of the more than $7,000 she needed for tuition, Mikett babysat and says for two Christmases in a row, she asked for cash instead of presents. The rest came from a scholarship from Interlaken.
Now that I'm finally here, I want to get as much out of it as I possibly can, because I work so hard and I don't want to waste any of the time that I have.
Working with a cast of 40 other campers, Cassie Mikett got the lead in the musical Carousel.
She was full of promises, but she didn't keep them quick enough for some. And a lot of doubting Thomases was predicting that the summer never come.
But it's coming by gum, you can feel it come. You can feel it in your heart, you can see it on the ground.
You can hear it in the trees, you can smell it in the breeze.
Look around, look around, look around.
Interlaken campers have a reputation for being pretty intense. Interlaken does have traditional camp activities and encourages fun.
Now this is sad. This is really sad. They actually force us to do things.
Things like arts and crafts and swimming in the lake, says Duran McDaniel, a 17-year-old bass baritone from Cleveland, Ohio. But he would much rather just sing. McDaniel says in years past, he didn't have the courage to apply to Interlaken. Once he finally did and got in, he says he was thrilled. Then reality set in.
How am I going to pay for this camp that $7,000-something dollars?
That's high for just about anyone. But McDaniel's family was going through an extra hard time. His mother experienced some financial difficulties, and they lost their home to foreclosure.
I was so comfortable in my life for a very long time, and then this came out of nowhere, which threw us all off guard.
McDaniel went to live with his grandmother. Interlaken saw his potential and gave him a scholarship for $5,000. Still, he had to come up with the balance. He wrote letters to potential sponsors. He got in touch with the music directors at the two churches where he sings. Donations, large and small, poured in. He gave a recital where there was a free will offering.
And I said, every little bit counts, because it really does. I didn't even care if someone gave me a dime, a penny, a nickel, whatever. It all added up eventually.
Now, Duran McDaniel spends his days and nights working on his music. He's already performed in the camp's nearly 4,000-seat auditorium with the World Youth High School Choir. Over the decades, young people have traveled to Interlaken by plane, bus, train, or even hitchhiked. Conductor Jung Ho Pak is the camp's orchestra director. He says the campers who've had to come up with part or all of the tuition themselves are showing an entrepreneurial spirit that will serve them well.
It really is a testament to how much they want to be an artist, because it doesn't get any easier when you graduate Interlaken or go to conservatory and graduate and try to find a job. That it's about